The American Lung Association recently issued its annual State of the Air report. Parts of Wisconsin fared very well, others not so much. For nearly two decades, the group has taken air quality data from the EPA and Departments of Natural Resources from each state. Individual cities and counties are graded based on the latest EPA standards.
Lake Effect Susan Bentz went looking for some fresh air as she met Donna Wininski on a bridge in the Menominee Valley's Three Bridges Park. Wininski is the director of tobacco control and public policy for the American Lung Association's Wisconsin chapter.
We're standing in a spot that, you know, historically would have been industrial, and this has been a major cleanup. So just as an example, does this kind of an initiative make a big difference in local air quality? Does that factor in?
Oh, absolutely it does. When you look at some of the specific efforts, like We Energy's converting from being coal-fired to natural gas, that reduces emissions a lot. We're right here next to a freeway or very close to the freeway, and all of the things that have occurred over the past couple of decades to reduce not just car, but car and truck and even train emissions, those have contributed to cleaner air over the course of time, too.
So what are the trends this year that you're seeing? I read that ozone pollution worsened significantly, 2014 to 2016.
Yeah, I wouldn't say significantly. It worsened, but it was really more a factor of weather more than anything else. This report looks at data from a three-year rolling average. And this year's report, that included 2014, 2015, and 2016. And I don't know if you remember, but 2016 was a somewhat unusually warm summer. And when you have higher than average temperatures, you tend to see more ozone action days. If it hadn't been as warm, we probably wouldn't have seen so much ozone forming during that period. So it really is more of a weather factor than anything else. And of course, we can't control the weather, which is why it's so important to control the other pollutants that go into making up ozone, the nitrogen oxides and the VOCs.
And where do we make that attack? How do we reduce that?
The primary sources are the coal-fired power plants, and we're doing really well in that. As I said just a couple minutes ago, we've had the We Energies plant in the valley here convert to natural gas, which is much cleaner. Cleaner fuels have had a big impact on VOCs. More improved catalytic converters, some of the federal laws governing car mileage and what kind of miles per gallon that vehicles need to get, all of those have contributed to bringing down both the VOC emissions and the nitrogen oxide emissions, which are components of ozone.
So in the report, you're looking primarily at ozone and at small particulates?
We look at ozone and PM2.5, which is really the ultrafine particulates. And the reason that those are so important is because they are so small that they can get past the lungs' natural defense mechanisms. They get into the lungs, they embed themselves deeply into the lung tissue, they can even get into your circulatory system and then travel around your body to other organs. That's why PM2.5 is not just a lung disease risk, it's also a heart attack risk.
So when you're looking at these issues, is it primarily people who are predisposed to, you know, who have other health conditions, the elderly, the young? Are these the groups that are generally most highly impacted by these issues?
We certainly have higher risk groups, and you named most of them. It's young children because their lungs are not fully developed until about early adolescence. It's the elderly because their lungs naturally deteriorate with age, even healthy older adults. Anyone with a pre-existing lung disease, anyone with any kind of a cardiovascular disease, those are what we consider to be our high-risk groups. But then you also have to look at people who exercise outdoors, who go jogging for an hour or so every day, people who work outdoors, the road crews, the construction crews. Anybody who is spending a good part of their day outdoors is susceptible to the impact of air pollution.
That's profoundly
disturbing. It's a lot of people, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's not just kids with asthma.
Yeah. So you talked about the difference the corridor like this can make, I'm sure does make, because mm-hmm. there have been so many remediations. But then when we move east to Lake Michigan, the lake has its own challenges, right?
The lake has its own challenge. Ozone is a heavier gas. It's heavier than oxygen, so it always seeks out the lowest place. And along the lake is the lowest place geographically. And so it kind of collects along the lake. It may not even have been created right here in southeastern Wisconsin. It may have been created in Chicago or Gary, Indiana, or even St. Louis, Missouri, something like that. But if you have a good south wind, it's going to be blowing up our lakefront right along the shore and impacting all of those communities from Kenosha County all the way up to Door County. No industry whatsoever in Door County.
Right.
But yet they have bad ozone days up there.
So how does obviously you disseminate the information and it's as comprehensive as is possible based on the data you're provided. But, you know, one of the arguments one hears is, certainly we all know Racine County right now, it is a hot spot because of, by that I mean Foxconn is coming in and there are some concerns about the pollutants that could add to the environment. So the arguments I've heard as well, you know, Racine County in itself is not contributing. It's not their problem. It's, you know, they're swept into the Lake Michigan flow. How do you respond to that?
Yes and no. Yes and no. There is a factor where a sizable amount of that ozone pollution is coming from outside of Wisconsin's borders. But unless we here in southeastern Wisconsin, including Racine County, Kenosha County, Milwaukee County, unless we suddenly stopped all traffic, all industry, all power generation, we're still contributing to the problem. And it's very hard to measure, well, this percent comes from Illinois, but this percent comes from Wisconsin. So that's why I say yes or no. We all contribute to it. And the bottom line is, if somebody's breathing it, their lungs don't care where it's coming from. Their lungs only know that they're breathing ozone and that it's not healthy.
So Wisconsin does have a varied report card. There's all these way of dissecting the cleanest, the dirtiest. So what stands out for you in Wisconsin?
First of all, the particle pollution grades are very, very good universally across Wisconsin. Even those communities on the lake, the particle pollution levels are within very acceptable levels. There are really some outstanding areas too as well. The ozone grades are outstanding in the central, the northern, and the western parts of the state. In fact, a couple of cities, metro areas, were on the cleanest list, the La Crosse, Onalaska area, and the Superior area on the cleanest.
Ashland, I think, right?
Ashland County was another one. So we're very, very glad to see those kinds of results. It's just that issue with the ozone along the lakefront. And the only way we're ever going to be able to address that is to continue to keep the Federal Clean Air Act strong. That's got a component in it. It's called the Good Neighbor Component. And what that does is it regulates trans-state or interstate pollution and makes those states that are downwind of Wisconsin do a little bit more and clean up a little bit more so that we're not paying the penalty. People tend to only look at the grades and they say it's an F, but you really have to dive deeper into the report and look at some of the charts that are on the website, and you see how that graph has gone down and down and down and down very precipitously. But we need to see it go away. We need to see it zero out or almost zero out.
And that's possible?
I think it is. I do think it is. People 19 years ago would not have thought it was possible to make the progress that we've made so far. I think it is possible. If we do what we can to address the few remaining sources of the VOCs and the nitrogen oxides, to do what we can to combat climate change and potentially impact the heat of our summers. I don't know to what degree that is possible. Probably some scientists would laugh and say, no, we can't do that, but do what we can do.
So when you look at the national level, are there initiatives afoot that have the Lung Association particularly busy, meaning talking with people, advocating to make sure something doesn't or does happen?
I would say presently the things that we are working on is rules and regulations that had been passed in the former administration that the present administration is now trying to roll back or repeal or even just delay, make them go out 2, 3, 5 years until they have to be implemented. They have been actively working at completely dismantling the Clean Power Plan, which is directed at climate change. So we're very vigorously defending that. Every time there is a budget, we did pass the fiscal 18 budget, but the fiscal 19 budget now, there are always riders that will weaken the Federal Clean Air Act, so we're always fighting those riders. Unfortunately, we're working in a defensive mode right now, we can't seem to move any policy forward, so what we're trying to do is just protect the policies that have been passed up to this time.
So is it fair to say the Clean Air Act is in jeopardy?
Well, the Clean Air Act is under fire, let's say that. A couple of things that we're presently working to defend is the new fuel standards for cars in the next 5 years and the miles per gallon that they will be required to get. That's something that there's presently an attempt to roll that back. California's clean air standards for decades. That California has had a waiver to have stronger laws than what's federal. And then states have the choice as to whether they want to follow federal law or whether they want to adopt the California standards. And there's probably a dozen or so states that actually follow the California standards. We're defending that right now because that's something else that the administration is trying to remove. It's trying to repeal it and just say one size fits all. Everybody has to follow the same federal standards. The report itself does list about 6 different areas, and you could see where those rollbacks and those delaying tactics are taking place.
So we'll direct our listeners to that spot.
Yeah, it's really a fascinating read, a little deep in spots, but you don't have to read the whole thing from cover to cover, but it gives you the bigger picture than just looking at the grades.
Donna Wininski is the Tobacco Control and Public Policy Director with American Lung Association in Wisconsin. She spoke with Lake Effect's Susan Bentz about its 2018 American Lung Association State of the Air Report. You'll find a link to it at WUWM.com.